Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
Many of you remember that voice. That's the late Glenn Moberg, the original host of Route 51 here on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're bidding a fond farewell to the program today as WPR charts a new course starting this Monday with our two new networks, WPR News and WPR Music. If my particular voice is unfamiliar to you, I'm Ezra Wall, the current executive producer of Route 51. And joining me today is host Shireen Seewert, who I'm glad to have, and a few people who you either haven't heard from or haven't heard from in a while. Producer Joy Ratch-Kramer is with us. Former executive producer and frequent fill-in host Rick Ryer is with us. And then Dean Kallenbach is joining us. Dean hosted and produced various programs in our Eau Claire region, which we'll be remembering today as well. Dean, Rick, Joy, Shireen, thanks a lot for being here today.
Hi.
Thanks for having us. Hi.
Good to be along.
I'm eager to talk about Route 51, the West Side, Spectrum West, the role that our regional programs have had at WPR over the years. And let's start with Rick. Rick, you were here at the beginning of this show. Talk about how Route 51 began.
Well, let me just first say, hearing Glenn's voice at the beginning of this program was really touching. It brought back a lot of good memories. Back in 2004, just about 20 years ago, we were told to start thinking about doing some regional programming. Really, we've been talking about this for quite a long time, over many years, but we were told this is the year that we're going to try to spread it out throughout the regions. And I got together with Glenn. Glenn seemed to be the perfect host. He was doing news at the time, and we figured out that we could actually split his role from being a news producer, reporter, and hosting this show. We had to think about concept. What is the concept of the show? And of course, the name, Route 51. Well, it all started about making connections. Route 51 is the artery that connects all of North Central Wisconsin. And that was important, that connection between the entire region, Route 51. So we came to that conclusion that this is what we were going to offer. And then we started thinking about, okay, what are we going to cover? What is there to tell? What stories do we have to tell here in Central in northern Wisconsin? Well, I'll tell you, after 20 years of broadcasting this program, there's a whole lot that we could tell. And so we started out with kind of what I would call a bang. The senatorial campaign was going on at the time between Senator Russ Feingold and Tim Michaels. Tim Michaels, of course, is a current name that recently ran for governor. But we thought to ourselves, wouldn't it be great for the first program to have Tim Michaels and Senator Feingold on? That would just blow things out of the water. We managed to do it. Called up the campaigns and offered them this opportunity, each getting about a half hour on their own. And they both said, you bet, we'll do it. And that at that time, the program was on Thursday afternoons at 5 p.m. A decent time as people are driving home from work. And we decided that's what we're going to do. Once they said yes, we're good to go. And for some program to get these two people, high-profile people, out of the box, brand new program, and we recorded the program, and it was on the same evening as a sponsored debate that we were part of at Wausau East High School. And we ran it, and the debate was at 7, and so many people that were there thanked us for doing the show earlier in the day. So that's how Route 51 actually physically, auditorially began.
So,
and we were pretty excited about that. And that actual parts of that broadcast were actually picked up by CNN and others in the industry. So that was that's how the show began.
So that's a pretty big get right out of the gate. Senator Feingold and Mr. Michaels talking about that tense and hard-fought campaign. That's you don't do that every week on a show that is meant to be sort of a local program. When you were designing the show, what other kinds of things were you excited about being able to cover?
Well, we were excited about talking about our friends in the Indian community, and we wanted to talk about what the connection that we have with our brothers and sisters at Lactopamo, at Lagunas there, and so on. And that was part of the mission. The other part of the mission, of course, is telling the many stories that are pretty quiet in other parts of the state, but we wanted to amplify here. Stories about people who are doing unique things. For example, we had a couple of people that were paranormal researchers. Where do you get that? Paranormal research on the radio. We talked about that many times, actually. We had a person by the name of Marge Gibson. Marge runs the Raptor Educational Group Incorporated, Reggie, otherwise known as, out of Annabelle, which rehabilitates birds of prey for the most part. That story was not being told. It, to the extent that we were able to expose it and gain more from that those broadcasts. We talked about talked with a race car driver from Eagle River and Natalie Decker. Natalie is still burning up the track in many venues across this country. There is stories that we discovered kind of on the fly. That was one of them. Did you know we had a NASCAR driver in the region? Shereen, do you remember that?
I remember it. That was one of my favorite programs. She was so fun to talk to, and hearing about her experiences in at racetracks around the area, from in Wausau and in the Point area, and how she got started, and then you know all the success and the challenges she had. It was a great conversation.
Yeah, it was. And there are so many stories, Ezra, that you could probably throw a dart at a storyboard, and we've talked about it in this part of the state.
Shereen, you've been a part of the show for how long now?
Oh my gosh, five years now, I think it is.
5 years,
yeah,
okay.
Five years. Yeah.
How did you get involved with Route 51?
First, I want to say that I knew Glenn for a long time, back when he was working for a TV station. We were friends. I had such great respect for him. And a couple of times, while he was host, Rick called me up and asked me if I would sit in the guest host chair or be interviewed for some music programs that he was doing. We did some fun, like crazy Christmas music programs. And so I was a guest, and I loved listening to the show. And so when Glenn became ill, Rick asked me if I would be a guest host, and I did. And after that, he asked if I wanted to get together for coffee, and we sat down, and he just laid it out and said, I'd really like you to take over the show. And I have a full-time job besides that. I was kind of like my jaw dropped, like, what? And my first reaction was, I don't need another job. But my next reaction was, oh my goodness, what an honor it would be to take over that responsibility and that role and honor Glenn in that way. And it is, I was glad to accept, and it has always been the most enjoyable part of my work week. Doesn't feel like work. Beats a real job any day. So
you are, this is the whole community comes together to make public radio work in a way, because you work on this part-time, but in your other job, you're a full-time journalist and publisher. So you're bringing those skills to the table, as well as your previous experience in radio, which has been in different kinds of radio formats. Another key member of any radio production team is the producer, and Route 51's producer for the last several years has been Joy Ratch-Kramer, who is with us. And I know, Joy, being on the air isn't something that producers do a lot. So first of all, welcome to the air. You're going to be famous now. And also tell us a little bit about what you do on the show.
Hi, Ezra. So I've typically been the person behind the scenes. I started out in 2018 when I was hired by WPR, and the first thing they had me do was screen calls for the show, and people would call in and, you know, talk to them, see what kind of questions they wanted to ask, help put them in the appropriate place and that sort of thing. And then in 2019, Rick asked me, it was November 2018, to go through past shows and put together a music special for Christmas. And after that, things just kind of grew, where I started helping write questions for the show, doing research, and eventually on to booking guests for the show, making sure everyone showed up on time, making sure everybody got the Zoom links when we were doing things over Zoom, making sure we had backup phone numbers to contact everybody. So all those little details, I call it crossing the I's and dotting the T's, mm-hmm. That would be necessary to make the show run smoothly.
So it had radio production wasn't part of your past at all, was it?
Radio production wasn't, but I had done a lot of arts and entertainment coverage in the college newspaper when I was in college at UWSP. So I did have a journalism background coming into this.
So when you came into this into this kind of work, and this is just part of your job at WPR, but as far as the production of this show, all the episodes that you got to hear, all the people that you got to work with along the way, what part of it was your favorite? What made the job fun?
So my favorite were definitely the shows that we did about food and local food and cheese and foraging and all of that fun stuff. I remember we had Luke Zum from Wisconsin Foodie come talk to us about local holiday food traditions, and that was super fun. And then one of my favorite shows of all time was when we had Sam Thayer, who comes from Wausau and is a local foraging expert, talk about all of the wild foods in our backyards. That was one that I did a lot of the production on, and it was just super fun.
That's amazing. Is there part of the work that you found particularly challenging? Not daunting in a defeatist way, but like in a way that makes you go, all right, this is going to be a fun, interesting challenge for me to tackle.
So the biggest challenge that I ever had was trying to get all of our political candidates, both Republican and Democrat, for all of our state Senate and state House of Representatives elections to come and talk to us about their campaigns. Mm-hmm. And that usually every political season, it meant I had to track down who they were, find their contact information, find their campaigns, and then basically chase them down to say, please come talk to us. We really want to give everybody a platform and make sure every voice is heard.
Yeah.
And I want to say it was 2020 where I actually succeeded, where I got every single candidate from both parties in our region to come and talk to us. So I would count that both my biggest challenge and my biggest success.
As a nearly 30-year veteran of this profession, I'm stunned that you got them all. That never happens. That's amazing.
I have not managed to replicate it since, however. I consider it a feather in my cap.
That's true. That's true. So so Dean Kallenbach is here with us as well. And Dean, we're going to talk to you later in the show about Spectrum West, which was a show hosted by the late Al Ross, and The West Side, which you hosted and a number of other people in Eau Claire have hosted over the years. But in your main role at WPR, you were the senior regional manager. You were my boss. You were Rick's boss. When Rick started talking to you about regional programming in central Wisconsin and this idea for Route 51, what was your first impression of it?
Well, at that time, I wasn't Rick's boss yet.
Okay.
We were colleagues as regional managers. But we had started a program, The West Side, as we were having conversations in senior management of Wisconsin Public Radio. The thinking was, let's develop regional programs in each region. And the logical next place to go was Wausau. And so that's where we started talking about how would we develop Route 51? What would it look like? You know, how would it be different than, say, the West Side? How would it be similar? And so that's sort of how that kind of came to be. But there was commitment in the early 2000s that this is something we should be looking at doing.
Some people might be surprised to hear about all of the advanced planning that has to go into something like this. You don't just decide to do a show, call a guest, and start a show, do you?
Well, that's what the Little Rascals used to do, but it didn't quite work that way for us. Once we decided on, for instance, the West Side in 2001, you know, Mary Jo was a full-time reporter at that time, but was excited to do it. At that time, the West Side was 2 days a week, which was a little crazy. We later trimmed back to a single day so we could really focus and do very local and very, higher end issues. But it took a lot of talk, a lot of planning, but it was fun to be a part of that vision. My main role at that time in those early days was as the executive producer, essentially, that, you know, to make sure that the topic stayed true to what we were trying to do. We weren't trying to replicate what was going on in the larger network.
Mm-hmm.
We might deal with similar issues, but we would deal with them in a way that had a regional focus, a regional bent.
Yeah, and that's one of the unique challenges of doing shows like this, because you come up with 15 ideas and they're really great ideas, but they're really great ideas for our statewide talk shows. And so, you know, you look through the archives and sure enough, those teams have already come up with those great ideas. So we've got to find a way to do things here on a regional level. We're celebrating Route 51 today. We're also talking about, as Dean mentioned, Spectrum West, his old show, the West Side, Dean's old show, and Spectrum West, Al Ross's old show. But we're going to take a time out here on Wisconsin Public Radio and continue our conversation with Shireen Siewert, Rick Ryer, Dean Kallenbach, and Joy Ratch Kramer in just a moment. If you would like to listen to a previous episode of Route 51, or if you've missed part of our conversation today and want to check it out, you can just go to WPR.org. Click on shows and scroll down to Route 51. We're right there. The archive is going to stay there. Even after the show retires, the archive will still be there. So you can listen back as much as you'd like. We're going to be back to our conversation right after this here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Public Radio, and you're listening to Route 51. I'm Ezra Wall, sitting in Shireen Siewert's chair today, although Shireen is with us as one of our guests as we're saying farewell to Route 51 after all of these years. With us as well is the former executive producer of the show, Rick Ryer, the current producer of the show, Joy Ratch Kramer, and Dean Kallenbach, who joins us from Eau Claire and was instrumental for so many years in the regional programming that went on in Eau Claire. And that's what I want to talk about right now. Dean, before we hit the break, you started talking about the West Side and how you used to do that show a couple days a week and scaled it back to one. Talk about the development of that show and the different people who have been involved in it over the years.
Well, if you don't mind, maybe I'll step it back even further to
Okay.
really the creation of the regional programming
Yeah.
in the offices. I'm it's fun to be in front of a Central Wisconsin audience. I was working in 1986 at Channel 7 in Wausau as the assignment editor there, and I happened to see a job notice on Doug Mattson, the anchor's desk. He was a big public radio fan. We talked about public radio all the time. And he had circled that they were looking for regional hosts in Menominee and Stevens Point. So I applied for the job because I knew I wanted to get back into radio. I had been in radio prior to my stint at 7 and really missed it. And the idea of working at Wisconsin Public Radio was a dream come true. Being able to move back to Western Wisconsin, where my family was, also something that was really a high priority for me. And so I applied for the job, and it turned out that the co-anchor, Aaron Davison, and I quit the same day to take jobs with Wisconsin Public Radio. Aaron became our host in Stevens Point. I became the host in Menominee. Now those offices have since moved to Wausau and Eau Claire, respectively. But it was a very exciting time. And what our main job was to do interviews during Morning Edition. So to some extent, everything old is going to become new again.
That's right.
As Wisconsin Public Radio moves into the future. But eventually the roles changed. I became regional manager in 1990, and we hired Mary Jo Wagner to be the morning host. She eventually evolved into a full-time news person, and the hosting duties kind of moved away from the regions and more to the statewide. We would do some regional inserts here and there with weather and other tidbits of information, but it became apparent that, you know, we needed another vessel for talking about regional stuff. 1994, a fellow by the name of Eric Wheeler was a board member for Wisconsin Public Radio, but a very interested in broadcasting, and had done a lot of amateur broadcasting. And he suggested developing an arts show called Spectrum West, and that's the show that began in 1994. The focus of that show was really to look at arts and humanities of Western Wisconsin, and really play a focus on that. And I think that was a really good mission for that program. The West Side, as I mentioned earlier, started in 2002. And because we had that show, Spectrum West, the West Side was more focused on issues, political issues, community issues, minority issues, that sort of thing that affected Western Wisconsin. And again, sometimes they were statewide issues that we, or national issues that we localized, but often they were things that just needed more attention that had a real local focus. Frac sand mining ended up being a program. Now, we covered that statewide, but we were living it in Western Wisconsin, and it affected us greatly. And those programs were always very impactful. Like Joy, and Route 51, the West Side always brought in every legislative candidate we could. The thing that I'm noticing, and this is not a revelation to anybody, civil conversation is becoming a harder thing to find.
Yeah.
And that's something that Route 51 has always been a part of. That's something the West Side was always a part of. And, you know, if I can tell one anecdote, there was a summer, it was 2015, I believe, yes, because it was between the time that Mary Jo Wagner had retired and Rich Kramer came on, that we hired Rich Kramer, and he became the host of the West Side and a regional reporter. So I was on the air, and the city of Durand, the school district of Durand, had a very controversial thing happening. There was a group that had started that was making all sorts of quite radical proposals to the school board that they reduce graduation standards to save money and things like that. And this group had a large 30-point or so agenda that they had put forth, and it was causing a lot of problems. And that was a very local issue. Certainly Durand was only one community within our listening area, but this sort of tension within school districts was not unusual. And so we thought, well, let's bring the principals on. So we brought the head of the group, we brought the president of the school board, and we brought the head of the school teachers union at the time, the head of the union. And so we had the three of them in the studio together and had that conversation. And we came to find out the three of them had never been in the same room together before. And again, being with a moderator, especially with somebody who's not going to put up with squabbling or talking over the talk of one another. And I made it very clear when we started, it was a good conversation. Everybody got a chance to say their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended the show and off they went. And I had some other things to do for the next hour or so before I took a break and went to lunch. And I was in the studio, and I came out of the studio an hour later, and the three of them were still talking in the parking lot.
Oh, wow.
And to me, that is an example of kind of where we need to go with our conversation. We need to be ready to stand firm in our beliefs and then have those conversations with others who stand firm in their beliefs and do it in such a way that's respectful and yet, you know, not condescending. And I think that's one of my favorite examples. I remember the feeling of that was strong for me that, you know, maybe we had a little something to do with that issue resolving itself.
And you gave those three people the opportunity to do just that, to not give up anything that was part of them, but also to connect with each other in a way that they hadn't been able to before. I want to go around the room,
And also to be able to answer adversarial questions, whether it was from me or from mm-hmm. the other people in the room, again, in a way that is respectful. Nothing wrong with adversarial questions. We as journalists deal with that all the time. We're trained to ask adversarial questions. The reason we do that isn't to be mean. The reason we do that is you get a better answer.
I want to go around the room and talk about some of those shows that have been particularly meaningful to people. Call it a favorite show. It could be about Route 51 or any of the other shows that you've heard on WPR through the years, but as either hosts or producers or whatever your role has been, what show are you particularly glad that we've been able to bring to our audience through the years? Shireen, I'm going to put you on the spot and start with you.
Well, there are quite a few favorites. And one thing that I have valued so much about this job is the learning experience, because we learn so much from so many episodes. We had an expert on that talked about the Amish culture, and that show generated so many emails afterwards with follow-up questions and people that just said thank you because I didn't know these things. So that's really valuable. We had a fantastic conversation about terrorism and with an expert. One of the world's most respected experts is from Wausau in that realm, and she talked about kind of the roots of terrorism and why people hate us so much, and that conversation stuck with me. We talked a lot about the experience of immigrants who came to this country in a couple of different things, different episodes. And Dr. Fernando Riveron had a fantastic appearance on our program to talk about his experience coming here as a child, escaping Cuba and relocating in the U.S. and becoming a citizen, and what that was like, and recounting his memories. It was quite a story. Mm. I'll never forget that conversation. It was phenomenal.
Rick, what about you? As the executive producer of the show, or maybe as a fill-in host? I know you've your annual sci-fi show was must-hear material. What have you been involved in that you're particularly proud of on Route 51?
One of the things that Dean reminded me of was when we have political adversaries, Democrat, Republican, in the studio, and that conversation, how it goes along. There was a time when I distinctly recall we had a local Republican and a local Democrat in the studio. And after the program, they went back to a conversation about a particular bill that they were very close on. They stayed in the studio for another hour and a half to talk about it and to hash out details of what they will be proposing the next day in that legislation process. So that to me, is for being a change agent. I really appreciated that. this sci-fi program. That was a lot of fun. John Jackson Miller is from the area, and he's well known Star Wars, Star Trek, and now he's known, becoming known in the Batman circles. So that's something that we've been having a lot of fun with. One of the shows we did the last one was with people that were the voice actors in the audio version of those books. That was quite a bit of fun to getting to know them. And that was the first time all three of them had met together. So that was very interesting. I know Shereen does not appreciate sci-fi.
I'm not a sci-fi fan, so we constantly were having this conversation like, you do the sci-fi show. No, really, you do the sci-fi
Joy writes the questions because it's not Shireen's
Not in my.
area.
Joy, what about you? What's been a particularly meaningful aspect of Route 51, maybe an episode that you remember?
Well, as Shireen said, Dr. Riveron's story really stuck with me. As have the stories when Afghan immigrants were being resettled here, refugees. We did a really in-depth look about what that meant for the community, what these people needed, how they were being welcomed. And then we revisited that a year later. So the ability to keep following these local stories and what their impact on the community is and what they have meant has been a lot to me. The other shows I really valued were the ones where we would go in and we would explain a topic. How do I respectfully attend a powwow? What do I need to know if I want to start camping or fishing or go hunting for the first time? What is it about fly fishing that makes it just so magical? How can I hunt for food in my own backyard? We also had regular spots and appearances by a financial expert who would people would call in and ask their financial questions and about retirement planning and that sort of thing, and he would help them out. So those like really useful things, those knowledge that I could take into my personal life and do stuff with, I always found those shows to be really valuable, and really interesting, a deeper look at those topics.
And Joy, let's not forget the UFO shows. The UFO
Oh, the
shows.
UFO
Oh my gosh,
shows.
they were so fun. I mean, people would call in with their sightings and experiences, and oh my gosh, the phones were just ringing off the hook. And those were always so fun.
Yeah, usually it would be the politics shows where somebody would want to talk to their local politician that got the most calls. But the number one most calls of any show we ever had was when we did the show about
UFOs.
UFOs. And she's right, the phones were just ringing off the hook, and I could barely keep up with them behind the scenes. It was wild.
That's amazing. Dean, you were talking about the opportunity that you offered some folks to find some common ground and find a way to relate to each other earlier. But that was before my question about favorite episodes on either Spectrum West or the West Side. Do you have a favorite episode or something that you were just really pleased to be able to bring the audience?
Well, maybe I'll talk about some favorite programming because we also did some other local programming. Starting in 1994, we introduced a program called Mental Health Today. Local psychologist Minette Ponick was the host of that program, and she'd bring in, local people for many years. And Jean Lamb was a volunteer producer on that program who took the calls and always got a lot of calls on that show, and she did really well. She decided to stop that program in 2003, and we started a new show called Kevin McKinley On Your Money. The concept of that show from the beginning was, let's start this. We think we can make this into a national show. It was the director of radio at the time, Greg Schnearing, was part of that planning process. It's like, let's pilot this program in the region and see how it does. And Greg Pangala was a morning host at the time, and he and Kevin, he was going to be the host, and then Kevin was the guest. And we brought Kevin McKinley, of course, is the certified financial planner from Eau Claire, who has gone on to become, extremely well known. He was very well known at the time, even. But he lived in Eau Claire, and so we did the show in Eau Claire. And I just remember how are we going to figure this out? And the two of them sat in a room, and just their banter in the office, like, yeah, this is going to be no problem. And the show was a big hit right away. It was a huge fundraising hit locally. And then eventually it became a statewide show for a year. Greg ended up leaving WPR to take a different job. And for a year, the show was sort of on hiatus, and then it was incorporated into Joy Cardine's morning show and the morning show later on. And of course, Kevin, again, was always the best fundraiser, best fundraising hour we had every year. So I was proud that we started that show. I had very little to do with its success other than we managed to get it on the air and got it going. And to some extent, I'll take a little credit for that, that we were able to make that happen. And I think the ability to pilot that program is a real specific one. But if you look back on the people who provided regional programming, if you look back at some of those people who've gone on to do big things with Wisconsin Public Radio beyond just the regional stuff, you know, you can talk about people like Gil Halstead, who is the former morning host in central Wisconsin, who went on to a great career as a journalist based out of Madison. Joy Cardine was the original regional host in Green Bay. Connie Walker was a regional host in Appleton, went on to become news director, and then went on to become the director of radio at WUNC in North Carolina before her untimely death a couple of years ago. And, you know, Rob Menser is doing great things right now. But if you think about Bill Martins, another Central Wisconsin journalist who went on to become a great producer at WPR. And I know, you know, in La Crosse, we've had many of the same situations where Maureen McCollum, Terry Bell, a lot of these were people who were grown in the regions mm-hmm. and developed and were kind of discovered to become statewide stars. And so that was, to me, a real source of pride, is to see that we could be a proving ground and a training ground in some cases for folks like that. And it was even the person who was replaced me as the host of the West Side was Clara Neipert, who I'd worked with as a student at UW-Eau Claire and had an internship with us through the Sally Webb internship. She came back, produced the program in the last few months before I retired, then took over as the host. And that lasted a couple of months before she got snatched away by the Larry Miller show, where she still is. So,
where she still works.
I mean, I'm excited to see that. And I'm excited to see the role that our regional reporters in the different regions, the Rich Kramers and the Rob Mensers, play in really contributing to the whole network scene.
That's Dean Kallenbach. Dean is the senior regional manager emeritus, as we're fond of calling him, at WPR. Also joining us today, Rick Ryer, the former executive producer of Route 51. Shireen Seewert is the current host of the show. And Joy Ratch Kramer is the producer. I'm Ezra Wall. I'm just a fly on the wall today, enjoying these stories as we send Route 51 into its well-deserved and hard-earned retirement after this week. And we'll be back in a moment to talk about some changes to what's going on at WPR that start on Monday, and some last reflections on this program as it winds down its run, Route 51. Our program will continue in just a moment right here on Wisconsin Public Radio. From Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Route 51. I'm Ezra Wall, joined by Joy Ratch Kramer, Rick Ryer, Shireen Seewert, and Dean Kallenbach, friends and colleagues all, and I'm glad you're here with me to celebrate Route 51 and the impact that it has had over the years. Starting on Monday, you'll hear WPR News and WPR Music. We're relaunching our service in the form of those two networks. And there's lots of information about that on our website. If you have any questions, wpr.org/new is where you go to find that information. WPR.org/new. There's a video there from our director, Sarah Ashworth. There's lots of information written out that you can read. And then if you still have questions after that, or you're not quite sure exactly where to find Morning Edition in your neighborhood, or you're not sure exactly what's happening to this or this, there's some contact information there, an email that you can click on and a number you can call. And it's all available at WPR.org/new. I want to talk about two members of our regional programming team who aren't with us anymore. We talked about Al Ross, who was the host of Spectrum West for a number of years in Eau Claire, and then Glenn Moberg, who was the original host of this show and the voice you heard introducing this show when we first started. Let's start with Glenn. Rick, talk about your relationship with Glenn and what he meant to the team here at WPR.
Well, going back a number of years, Glenn came by one day when we had an opening for the morning host and weather person, if you will. I remember Glenn for his time at Channel 9 and Channel 7 here in Wausau. He came into my office and he gave me a tape, a resume, and everything else. He thought I would need to make a decision. And he was applying for that job. And he said, Glenn, this is a very, very part-time job with no benefit. He said, I don't care. I want to work for somebody I trust. And that meant a lot. And eventually, he was hired on as a reporter, and then reporter/host of Route 51. Working with Glenn was kind of like a graduate course, if you will. He knew so much about journalism. I learned a lot from him as it relates to journalism as it was meant to be. So he and I did see a lot of things eye to eye. We got along pretty well. We did have our arguments, of course, whether this should be covered on Route 51 or it should be covered as a news story. And we've respected each other's opinions. Sometimes I would say, go for it. Other times I would say, no, this belongs in news, and he respected that. I just remember one program we did was the journey one man took from escaping Laos and making his way to central Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
We made a documentary out of that, but it was first told on Route 51. About this man's journey. And one of the things that we did to make it a real personal program, yes, we had our theme song for the show, but it was how we could use music to even bring more life and more personal experience to the program. And that particular piece did win an award from the Asian American Journalists Association. And that meant a whole lot too. I don't know what else to say about Glenn, but I just want to say what a professional, a good friend. He would do anything he could to help anybody out.
Thanks, Rick. Shireen, tell me about Glenn.
Taking over for Glenn was a gift because I just adored him. He was just a one-of-a-kind, incredible person. We had such respect for one another, and to take over the show with his blessing and continue his legacy meant the world to me, and it has been such a pleasure to do it over the years.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Dean, another member of our WPR team that I got to know a little bit when I was first starting out is Al Ross, who was a fixture in the arts community in Eau Claire and the host of Spectrum West. And Al unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago. But tell me about your work with Al and what he meant to the community there in Western Wisconsin.
Everybody who hosted the West Side, Eric Wheeler, then Jack Beaver, then Kathy Stahl, all brought something new and different to it. What Al brought to it was years of experience as a broadcaster. Those other three had at best been amateur broadcasters. They were good, but they brought more their interest in understanding the arts community. Al had been a morning drive host in Milwaukee and Tampa and major markets. I first heard him on a commercial station here in town, a commercial talk station. He was the morning host. He had a marketing firm, and he was just doing the marketing stuff when I had an opening come up for my morning drive. Again, he was a person who really was excited about, after all his years in radio, the idea of working in public radio was something very exciting to him. And so he came in as the morning announcer. And about a year after that, Kathy indicated she didn't want to host the program anymore. And so he stepped into it. And I'll tell you what, I never had to worry about the program once he handled it. He was such a consummate professional and yet extraordinarily creative, a very unusual combination. I mean, he never missed a cue. He never was out late. He never was in late. Everything was always exactly where it was supposed to be. He would open every show with a poem that he had made up specifically for that day. And yet his interviewing style was, at the time when I listened to talk radio, as long as I was in it, I can kind of guess what the next question is going to be. Could never do that with Al. I mean, he just couldn't. He won a Wisconsin Broadcasters Association award for best interview for a piece that he did with the director of the Chippewa Valley Symphony Orchestra, Nobuyoshi Yasuda. Nobu had been back to his native Japan over the summer, and so he came into the studio, and Al's first question was, what is it about those Japanese toilets? And that's exactly the kind of question that and he always got great stories and great answers out of it. I mean, there are some people who are storytellers. He was a story evoker. He could draw stories out of people like nobody ever saw. And so, you know, some of his work covering the Clear Vision Facilities Committee and their work, some of the live broadcasts we did relating to that directly resulted in what is now the Pablo Center for the Arts in Eau Claire. So big, big, important part of the Eau Claire arts community. Discovered he had cancer. I remember he having that conversation with me in the spring of 2022, and by the fall he was gone. And so it was a fast, aggressive cancer. I think the last program was in July of 22, and I was excited and happy to be a part of working with him. Sad for his loss and sad for the loss of the program.
Yeah. Such an amazing person to observe, a fun show to listen to. And I the thing I remember about Al in the very short time that I knew him is that he we all, being in this business for a while, get lost in our own way about going about things, and I want this to work better because it's easier for how I do my job, or won't this be great because then my job will be easier. Al never ever lost sight of the audience, always the audience. And like, I saw Al interacting with our engineering team when something would go wrong, or with our IT team when he needed help with a computer. He reached out to me from time to time, to help with coordinating this or that to do with his show and WPR. And it was always, if this doesn't go right, it's going to affect the listener's experience. And that's bad for the whole organization, and it's bad for the listener. And so that's, like, as long as I've been in this business, like, that's a reminder that I need every day. So, right. Yeah, I miss that about Al. And it's good to have this opportunity to remember that by remembering him. And I never knew Glenn, but I thank you, Rick and Shireen, for sharing your memories of Glenn. And of course, Joy Ratch-Kramer is with us as well. And thank you very much for joining us today, Joy, and for your work on Route 51 all these years. We're sending the show into its well-deserved retirement. And I don't know how else to end it except to hand it over to Shireen to take us out one more time.
This is Route 51. I'm Shireen Seward. Thanks to Ezra Wall for hosting and producing today's program. Also, thanks to our guests, Dean Kallenbach, Rick Ryer, and Joy Ratch Kramer. It has been so wonderful working with all of you throughout the years. Thanks to John Altenberg, my good friend, for the Route 51 theme. And you can hear the archive of today's program and all of our previous programs. They will not be going away. You can hear them at WPR.org/Route 51 and on your favorite podcast platform. But before we go, I want to say a heartfelt thanks to you, our listeners, for making this program possible. It's because of you that we are here and we have been here throughout the years. I thank you for spending your time with us at Route 51. Be sure to tune in Monday to WPR News and WPR Music. Glenn Moberg started us off all those years ago. I think it's fitting that we let Glenn take us out one more time.
I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. Until next week, we are heading out of town.